Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerators, the patented aerator that makes a difference. Over 700 units installed since 1999. Airmaster Aerator.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 4th of January, 2016. Title, Welcome to January, especially those of you with new capital projects. A new year and it's Capital Projects Month on the Paparitalo editorial calendar. In my nearly 4 to 6 years in industry, I've seen capital projects from all sides. I have seen so many projects from the truly frightful to the shining examples that I could write a book. In fact, I did. It's called The Lazy Project Engineer's Path to Excellence. There are something over 1,000 copies of this book in the field at this time. It doesn't hurt that every graduate of every pulp and paper school in the United States heads to their first job with a copy of this in their hands. If your school is not in our program to receive these for each of your graduates, please contact Helen Rausch at helen.rausch@taii.com for more information on this program. I want to start out this month's worth of columns with a slightly different slant. I want to begin by talking about the relationship between suppliers and owners. Note, I use the word suppliers almost exclusively. I almost never use the word vendor. A vendor is the person on the midway at the fair that sells me a paper tube wrapped in cotton candy. The word vendor seems insulting to me. I also prefer owner or client to the word customer. A customer is the person on the non-working side of a cash register that responds yay or nay to the question, do you want fries with that? The word customer is also insulting in my way of thinking.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Honey, I have something to tell you.
What is it, dear?
The company has given me a great opportunity, and I'm being transferred to another mill out of state, and we'll have to move soon. I'm very excited about this.
I'm proud of you for your opportunity, but we have to move? That's going to be such a hassle. What about the kids? We'll have to find a new home, and how do you find a good realtor? Not to mention enrolling the kids in a new school, finding a new church.
Ah, that reminds me. I heard someone at the mill today mention a website that has resources for people in the pulp and paper industry that are relocating.
Moving doesn't have to be a hassle. SellYouHouses.com has the resources and information to assist you with the moving process. We have a list of realtors and mill towns across the United States. Just go to the town that you are looking to move to. We also have links for schools, churches, chambers of commerce, Department of Motor Vehicles, visitors bureaus, and local government. Just go to SellYouHouses.com.
Wow! Honey, this website has all the resources we need to help us move. Thank you, SellYouHouses!
If you're moving, just go to SellYouHouses.com. That's CellYouHouses.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
Yes, it all starts with respect for all parties and what they bring to the event, your capital project. There should be respect for all parties, but there is one unbalancing element to the entire process. The party inking the checks has the power. No one should ever forget this. So from the beginning, the owner, who has the power, and the supplier, while bringing valuable expertise to the party in the form of technology disguised as equipment, software, or some other tangible element brings their assets, the check writer is in charge of the decisions. You can pretend to be friends, you may indeed develop friendships beyond the duration of your project, but while the project is underway, never forget your role, no matter what it may be. While we're in the preliminaries in this column, we might as well discuss graft, under-table dealings, or whatever else you may want to call it. We outline this in gory detail in the month of the year where I write the Pulp Rats columns. That would be Corruption Month. You may be surprised at whose feet I will lay the problem of graft. That would be suppliers. If suppliers were not willing to give graft, graft would not exist. This is where the power of the owner as check writer can be rendered null and void by suppliers who have the confidence and ethics to win contracts fair and square without resorting to bribery. I've stated before, and I will state it again, there are still certain areas of the United States where I will not even bother calling on the mills because the suppliers in those areas have trained the mill personnel to expect kickbacks in exchange for business. So let's start out the month expecting respect for all sides, competence from all sides, and fair dealings by all parties. For if we cannot start here, then budgets, schedules, performance standards, and project success are mere dreams. No project has enough slop in the budget, nor should it, to tolerate the sort of sloppy non-professionalism and chicanery I have referenced here. Your thoughts, please. You can take our quiz online to discuss this. For safety this week, shoddy equipment purchased by buying the favors of the owner through corruption can lead to employee injury, death, and criminal convictions for the perpetrators. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Papa Ritalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Fulton Systems is North America's leader in terms of thermocompressor and steam systems installations. Our references in the paper industry includes over 80 years of support, thousands of operating thermocompressors, and hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Additionally, we provide dryer section performance audits, steam and condensate system design, and consulting services. Give us a call at 770-447-1400 or visit our website at www.fultonsystems.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 11th of January, 2016. Capital projects are serious business, not fiction. I have known two companies in my career that demonstrated they know how to do major capital projects correctly. That would be on budget, on schedule, and with the results desired. I'll not embarrass everyone else who think they get this right by only mentioning these two, so names shall be anonymous. Our newsletter, Capital Arguments, has been looking for project managers that do capital projects of any size in an outstanding way since 2008, and we have found three, despite searching worldwide. 3 out of 7 years since the award has been available. The companies that have done major capital projects correctly possess one unique trait. They have used the same key owner's management team over and over. The team gets so they know each other very well, and if the projects are similar, they begin to work in harmony. Capital projects consist of three elements: money, time, and space. We have also discussed this in various issues of the Capital Arguments newsletter. Money, of course, is the budget. Time is the schedule. Space is the physical space. That would be real estate, interferences, and accessibility. Getting 2 out of 3 right is not too hard. Getting all 3 correct is like bowling a perfect game.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
If your equipment installation, construction, or maintenance project is complex, your choice is simple. C.R. Meyer, a nationwide full-service general contractor, specializes in the most complex projects in the pulp and paper industry. Our millwrights, pipe fitters, iron workers, boiler makers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of knowledgeable technical and professional staff are effective and efficient in any shutdown, planned or unplanned. Take the simple step to getting your next project done safely, on time, and on budget. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com. That's C-R-M-E-Y-E-R.com.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
There is one key element that generally does not belong to the capital project management team: operations training. You can do everything else right, but miss this one and your project will fail. I talked in Paper Money's first edition this month, 5th of January 2016, about the poor job boards of directors do in properly vetting capital projects. They accept unrealistic budgets and schedules because, I think, they do not have the expertise to understand the risk of capital projects. The legions of people I have seen terminated or self-terminating, what I call run screaming from the building, at the conclusion of major capital projects attest to the ignorance and hubris of those involved in capital projects. So let's start at the beginning. The beginning is the plan and the budget. I strongly suggest you start with a written plan of what it is you're going to do. Yes, no one wants to write a plan. They want to jump into their favorite details. Yet this should be resisted for a very simple reason. Someone in charge will latch on to a favorite detail and try to build a plan that fits that detail. If you write out your plan first and then go off to verify all the details necessary to make the plan work, you can stay on course, no matter how many times you have to modify the plan. Invariably, many details when examined will require the plan to be changed. If you go through this process in a disciplined manner, you will change the plan based on solid scientific and economic knowledge, not fiction. This is important if you're going to have a successful project. You will know you're in trouble from the beginning if the budget and the schedule miss the mark of what others have done in similar circumstances. If you think your newly formed team is going to beat all others that have come before you doing similar projects, either in money, time, or space, you are living in a dream world. I am not saying that it cannot happen, but the chances of it happening are very, very slim. You have to be careful of the plans, too. Some of them, even done in a broad brush way to be verified later, can be completely bogus as well. There was a rumor that the executives of one paper company, in the 1950s, when air travel was still a bit novel, happened to fly over the confluence of the Ohio and Mississippi rivers and remarked, "We should build a paper mill there." Whether that was true or not, a paper mill was built there, and that mill, young by most standards, is standing idle today. I know of other mills that were built in certain locations due to energy sources or logistics. They have struggled as well. A successful project starts with getting it right from the beginning. A lousy plan executed by a team that thinks they're going to save it or perfect it through some sort of heroics is bound to yield a lousy result. Have you seen a major capital project succeed in all parameters, money, space, time, and operational excellence? If so, we would like to hear about it. Please take our quiz this week online. For safety this week, a poorly executed capital project is bound to have a poor safety record. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Papa Ritalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Well, it's time to start planning our annual recovery boiler outage again.
Yes, it is. Budgets are tighter than ever, even though business is good. And speaking of good business, sales is pressuring us to have as short an outage as possible. They need the production.
Well, getting in a hurry costs money and can lead to safety problems.
I know. And you know we are always under pressure for our safety record, too. It seems like corporate has nothing better to do than to keep pushing us on every front.
I think I have a solution to all of these problems.
What's that?
RMR Mechanical. They've done a great work for us in the past and have a great safety record, too. They almost always beat the schedule.
Sounds like this meeting is over.
RMR Mechanical. The only name you need to know for an economical, quick, and safe boiler outage. Phone 770-205-9646 or visit us on the web at rmrmechanical.com.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 18th of January, 2016. The title, Assets, the Intended Results of Capital Projects. I once worked for a company that was proud of their capital projects and how the completion of such projects added to the assets of the company. The next company I worked for was proud of their return on investment, ROI, and had a philosophy of investing as little as possible in capital projects, for such investments drove down the ROI. This seems like a conundrum, but there are always other details that need to be explained to understand such matters. In the case of the first company, the economy had just come through a phase of near hyperinflation. This was cooling, but not gone from managers' and investors' memories. Thus, the unspoken portion of their pride in assets employed was the idea that assets purchased today are much cheaper than assets purchased tomorrow, and indeed of the selling price of goods manufactured tomorrow. Hence, producing goods tomorrow with cheap assets acquired today makes sense as compared to competitors who may be buying assets as they go. The perceived cheaper assets were viewed as money in the bank.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
How's it going, Bill? Or should I say stud?
Very funny.
Really, how's the work on that dryer head going?
We've been trying to take out those three bolts for 2 days. I've had crews working on it around the clock, we've broken wrenches, and must have gone through about a gallon of penetrating oil. And we accidentally hit the dryer shell a number of times. Now I'm going to have to get a metallurgical engineer out here to see if we have done any permanent damage.
So, are you doing this the old-fashioned way, just for fun?
Huh? You got any better ideas, Miss Smarty Pants?
Matter of fact, I do. Ever heard of CBG, metal disintegration and stud removal?
CB what?
CBG, metal disintegration and stud removal.
Who's that?
CBG, metal disintegration and stud removal will take care of those studs and not damage anything else. Heck, the U.S. Navy has used them to repair aircraft carrier decks.
How long does it take?
Usually about 2 hours, and the threads in the hole are not damaged.
Well, that's probably nice if you're in the big city, but out here in Hickory Flats, I'll bet they cost a fortune and take forever to get here.
They claim they can be anywhere in the world in 48 hours, and for shutdowns, they can be here on standby for a reasonable fee. I know they've worked in mines in Chile, and just how much has your effort cost so far? Stud. Around-the-clock cruise for 2 days? Lost production of how much? Maybe a damaged dryer shell?
Yeah, you've got a point. How do I get in touch with CB whatchamacallit?
It's CBG, metal disintegration and stud removal. Call them at 1-757-465-0333 or visit them on the web at cbgmaintenance.com. CBGMAINTENANCE.com. Or again, phone them at 1-757-465-0333.
CBG Metal Disintegration and Stud Removal. Now that has a nice ring to it.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
In the case of the second company, it was not a standalone pulp and paper company. It was wholly owned by a conglomerate that was in many different businesses. The only way to measure the performance of each of the disparate companies owned by the conglomerate was by looking at ROI. Further evidence of this was the desperate desire of these separate companies within the conglomerate to look as good as possible. Thus, the measurement metric was not simple ROI, but it was something called RONA, R-O-N-A-E, Return on Net Assets Employed. In other words, return after you remove depreciation. Such a method completely discouraged the deployment of new assets, for such a deployment would raise the asset base and lower one's RONA. By the way, RONA figures in the 80% range were common. A facility wasn't even considered good unless they were above 70%. This was a long time ago. What happened to these two companies? Interestingly, the first one has completely gotten out of the grades of paper for which they were known at the time. They redeployed assets, merged with another company, merged again, and are now not even recognizable as participants in the grades of yesteryear. The facility in which I worked has been idled by a second owner since those days, and I sincerely doubt it will ever start up again. The second company survived a split-up of the conglomerate and a spin-off of a portion of itself. It is a standalone publicly traded company now. It has managed to keep its old assets running, but one of its facilities has a particularly poor safety record. It has had several fatalities over the years. Yet as a whole, the company is a darling of Wall Street. So what happened in both of these cases? Why these results? Management focused on the part they could control, deployment of assets, and operated in a, quotes, best guess, end quotes, mode on the portion of the equation they could not control, markets for their products. In fact, when I was involved with both of these companies, the internet was a long distance in the future. Yet in both cases, their return on investment was drastically affected by the internet. The first one in a negative way, the second in a positive way. The moral of this story is this. You can play with investment calculations all day long. However, in the long run, markets are going to determine what the real calculation will be. For our quiz this week, we have one simple question meriting a yes or no answer. Have fun with it as you take it online. For safety this week, don't ever forget to take care of your most important assets, people. Do everything you can to keep them safe. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Do you have a shutdown coming up? If you're in charge of Rotograte, Riley's, or CE boilers that need to be repaired or inspected, call Seneca Steel Erectors at 1-800-853-8225. With over 20 years of experience, we get the job done, and we get it done quickly. Again, that number is 1-800-853-8225. Seneca Steel Erectors, your boiler repair specialist.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 25th of January, 2016. The title, When Capital Projects Fail. The old joke is this. If you look at a paper machine or pulp mill that is 10 or more years old and add up all the incremental capital projects that have been done on this asset, the claimed cumulative return on investment would suggest the mill should be operating for free. Obviously, this is not true, so what went wrong? The first place to look for errors is in the design basis. What is a design basis? If this is your question, the first problem is you do not know what a design basis is and why it is necessary. The first document one leading a project should produce is a design basis. This is a narrative, largely text with few numbers, which describes the intent of the project. It is a story about how a certain asset operates today, what is desired to be changed about that asset, and the subsequent way the asset will operate upon completion of the project. While the design basis has a primary author, it should have many, many contributors. In fact, anyone in the company who will have the opportunity to make a judgment call when the project is completed should be solicited for input into the design basis. Creating a design basis is painful and slow. It is extremely important. For if you don't get the design basis correct, you stand little chance of having a successful project.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
If safety, saving time and money during inspections, repairs, and projects is important to you, it's time to take your project to new heights. Propellerheads Aerial Photography is a veteran-owned company with 12 years of award-winning experience and expertise in the cutting-edge field of drone photography and videography. We provide superior solutions for your mill's needs. Let Propellerheads do your dangerous high work and visual inspections by getting a close-up, bird's-eye view of all those hard-to-reach places. Our service saves your mill money by cutting down on costly downtime and extra man hours. Call us today at 229-548-0020 or visit our website at www.propheadsphoto.com. That's PropheadsPhoto.com. Propellerheads Aerial Photography, delivering amazing results at a fraction of the time and cost.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
Once the design basis is hammered out and all the parties agree to its contents, objectives, and goals, it is not to be put on the shelf. It is to be a dog-eared document referenced often throughout the capital project process. It is your roadmap. If you experience rocky traveling in your excursion through your capital project, it is because either A, your roadmap is faulty, or B, you never bothered to make a roadmap to start with. Failure takes many forms. The budget was too low, the schedule was wrong, training was poor, markets were not as predicted, and on and on and on. However, I've never seen a project fail badly if it had a good design basis. So when people come to me wringing their hands about their project, I drag them back to the beginning and ask about the effort invested in and the nature of their design basis. Nearly all failed projects start here. What are some of the failures you have seen? Please keep the guilty anonymous, but please take our quiz online and tell us about them this week. Of course, your safety plan is part of your design basis. Start there and build from a viewpoint of safety and you'll be off to a great start. Be safe and we will talk next week.
NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.